Inseparable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
It's Tuesday with our admirable friends. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
Welcome.
Hello.
Alex, where are you?
Where are you, Alex?
I am on the other side of the world. No, I am sitting. I am. My wife wasn't feeling well today, and so I decided that I could still do the show from the confines of a room in my house. And
yeah, these producers we have are great, aren't they? I mean, they got this thing working in two different locations.
But I've actually quarantined myself in my kids' room because she's in one room not feeling well, and so I put them in the big master room out in the living room, and so I'm in their room and glad to be here. I think it's really cool that we can patch in like this, and I think it kind of for me it kind of opens up some ways that I think we can start including others. I know we did it once before, and might be a great way to start kind of introducing some other guests to come on and talk with us, and we kind of can expand that admirable friend circle and
let's see how it works, because all we're doing is using Skype to do this,
because the emails we get in are great. I'd love to carry on some discussion with some of the people that write in and some other interesting guests, so we'll see.
It's almost easier to listen to him through the earphones.
I do like listening to him. I've got, like, Doug, our producer, in one ear. I've got Alex in the other ear. It's like, this is great.
Maybe we'll say nothing.
Yeah, keep going, Alex.
Give it to Alex. Keep rolling.
All right, topic for tonight is?
You tell me.
Endurance and impatience.
Impatience, yeah. We usually say the emotion first, impatience and endurance. And we were just having an interesting discussion on this topic of endurance because I had mentioned that it was synonymous with the word patience and endurance. And I think Alex took a little issue with that.
Alex, you weren't quite happy with that one, were you?
We'll talk about.
Yeah, well, I don't know if not happy is the right way of saying it, but I guess I just kind of, I see it a little different, and I thought it would be a good opportunity for me to better understand it by talking about it openly, so. As we kind of get through the beginning of the show here, I'll say my piece.
Okay. Well, we're kind of winding down with the 10 ideal mind qualities. We started with the overriding quality of determination, and then we went to the categories of the wisdom qualities, which were discernment and goodwill. And then we touched on the truth qualities, which were authenticity, virtue, and persistence. Last week, we wrapped up the letting go qualities of generosity and restraint. And so this final grouping are the calming qualities, and so that's endurance and equanimity. And I kind of think of these calming qualities as this is where you kind of put it all, this is where you test the recipe, you test the soup after all the ingredients are put in, and you kind of stir it around and you see if it needs a little bit more of this or a little bit less of that, and I don't know. That's the way I kind of look at the way we're wrapping up the calming qualities.
Yes. And it's at the right place at the end because it's kind of, if you really work the other mind qualities, you end up getting to the calming quality.
And would you really kind of say, maybe Alex, I don't know how you feel about this, but is this where like the fruits of your labor come in? Is this where Is this where the culmination of all the hard work in the previous weeks start to show themselves, do you think?
Yeah, it's because it is a calming quality. I'm sure we'll get into kind of why that comes about with this one, but it is kind of, you know, it's this quality, I think, you know, you can find it in a bit of each of the other qualities. So it's like you said, it's kind of leading up to this one, and yeah, ready to cycle back through them again, you know.
Well, but I will say that I think it's still an intentional element behind the patience, and it doesn't just happen, you know, as a result of doing the other things.
I think that's why they call it. You have to exercise patience.
Yes,
is usually the phrase. Did you hear that, Alex? Have you ever heard that? Exercising patience.
Yes, and yeah, and I think you know, yeah, I think a lot of times it can be cultivated, and I think you're cultivating it through use of the other qualities as well. I think it's a that's really what I meant, was that it's one of those that. It gets touched by other qualities. So, you know, acting generously or using discernment, I think, kind of boosts that up.
Yeah.
You know, because something like discernment, you know, you have to have a little bit of patience to be able to see the choices clearly as they're happening, and not rush right into them at times. So,
In the act of drilling down and discerning is an act of patience in itself too. Mm-hmm. So
I find restraint is a biggie.
Another one, yeah.
I mean, even our overall determination when we set it, you know, the object isn't to just go and set something just because it's out there. I think I spoke to that a little bit with, you know, when we were talking about New Year's resolutions. Like somehow, if you don't set one by the first, you've kind of, you know, you're behind the gun already.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know. There's no timeline on these things, and it, you know, it takes a bit of patience to, you know, something like a good determination. If you rush it, you might find yourself cycling through and having to get back to square one again. If you don't take the care and the time to really seek out a good determination, you know.
But can I take a moment to kind of recap on the overall picture? So if there's any new listeners tonight,
sure.
Before we plow right into the subject.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to first state that you can join the chat at bbsradio.com/admirablefriends and add to this conversation relating to patience and endurance. But within the overall context of Admirable Friends, if there's any first-time listeners out there, what we are doing is trying to shift the overall conversation instead of primarily searching for happiness through our external sensory experience. We are trying to shift ourselves to more of the inner qualities, the intrinsic qualities of mind, of what we're developing. And we've got a platform here where we're talking about 10 different ideal qualities that we work on and actually practice with and develop these mind qualities, of which the 9th quality is tonight, which we'll be discussing, is patience. But overall, in the program, when we look inside, we're really, would say, principally motivated with the responsibility and accountability that our actions matter. Would you say, Alex, that that's a governing kind of thing that we deal with? Actions matter.
Actions do matter. We say it all the time, but, you know, it's what you do that we really begin to, you know, get to the core of a lot of our issues, and ultimately that's, we always talk about kind of our 50%, and our 50% is our own actions and where we can start and begin kind of you know, really grab a hold of this development and move forward.
So many of us are asking the question when we come to an introspective part of our life, when we slow down enough, we kind of ask, who am I? And what we try to do with Admirable Friends is shift that conversation to, instead of posing the question, who am I, it's what do we do? With the idea that what we do creates who we become. What we do, we try to begin with an overall determination of what
that being the inner mind qualities of what matter. You know, if we were to write a eulogy, at the end of the day, we want to have built internal qualities, which call them qualities of character, another way that people can relate to them. But if we're going to develop character over a lifetime, it involves rigid attention to our actions and responsibility to our actions. That's something we can control, or at least influence, whereas what's happening outside these days is very confusing and distracting. So when we focus on our actions and really take responsibility for our actions, and, you know, that's a difficult thing, because when people first hear that, it's almost like where we all have this low self-esteem that says that I'm not sure I really want to deal with all my actions, right? Because there's some actions in the past that have caused us to be stressful, and there's a whole bunch of ignoring that. Don't you find that to be the case? Or did you find it to be the case in your particular case?
I mean, I do think at times it is part of my fallback, but, you know, I'm really beginning to feel of that, you know, that's in the past. You can't add to it or bring it back, because it was a point in time that you're trying to conjure up in your head that you're fabricating anyways. So it's never, you can't live the first experience.
Back it up to when you started the practice, so we can relate to maybe some people just listening to
that.
15 years ago, when you first started.
I would dwell on things in the past and or hold a grudge or something like that, and just kind of keep the dialogue going in my head on why it was important to cling on to it.
Right, but wasn't there a tendency in all of us to still try to manage the external environment that we were dealing in, whether it was relationships things, right? And and this whole program is about kind of shifting towards our reaction to this external world and what we internally have for choice. The personal responsibility for choice, and that actions really matter. And like I said, we start with a picture of what we want our life to become towards the end, you know, at the end of the day, and then realize that the only way we're going to pull that off is if we pay attention to intentions, actions, and results. And I like intentions, actions, and results because they deal with the three aspects of time. Intentions deal with what our future is. Actions are what's happening in the present moment, and results is basically the record room of our personality and our character that's the result of our actions. So in any case, we want to try to weave this patience discussion in line with that and always keep that in mind as we discuss patience and what we're doing, not as a concept, you know, like a theoretical concept, patience is good. No, it's what are we doing to develop patience? What actions are we taking to develop our personal patience? Alex, how about you?
I think that's the real meat of it. When we get down to it, is that you know, it's great to have a conversation about endurance and impatience and those things, but at the heart of it, we want to come out of this with what sort of action are we doing now, and what sort of action can we do going forward to work on that quality. And that's where we really begin to grow these internal characteristics. But I share the same sentiments, just to go back on what you were both saying. It wasn't, my practice didn't really kick up until, and this is probably why we really focus on determination, is that that kind of out-the-gate overriding quality. I have a very tough time, I used to have a very tough time seeing far enough down the road, and I was kind of just, you know, playing things out as they were coming, going forward, and it worked out. You know, you step up to the plate and you have an okay percentage, but it wasn't really till I sat down with you, buddy, and we started saying, well, we're kind of flying blind here. Why don't we choose a destination, put it out there, and then we can come back, and then we can just go towards that. And so that's really when the practice kicked off for me. And then I was talking with a client as we were coaching the other day. And just to go on why actions are so important, the question this particular client had asked me was, they were having a tough time at work, and and were seeing that they were getting some criticism from one of their managers or their bosses, and they wanted to know how they should approach their manager to change their manager's way of communicating to them. And at first, you know, and I think this client was a little shocked when I came back and I said, that's, you know, almost excuse me if I'm being a little blunt here, but that's kind of, you know, not really the leverage in this. If you're fixed on trying to fix somebody else's way of communicating to you, it's going to be very difficult. And I think you're going to really come up against a lot of resistance, especially when you're in that, you know, employee manager role, and that doesn't work for anybody. And so the direction I kind of helped them pivot and turn to was identifying what sort of actions, you know, can we look at that are getting that sort of reaction from their boss. And by doing that, I think we really turned in.
How did
you
that
know,
person respond to you?
There was a pause, and that's, the pause is good, because I think that's a really authentic answer to it. And I think that's what I did when I was at that point in my path. I remember asking the same sort of question. I think it's natural to kind of look and say, what? And it's, you know, because, you know, we don't want to, our first reactions aren't to look at ourselves as what can we do and what role did we play in this.
Right, but, we tend to personalize it, and that's when the question goes, what,
like, it's happening to me.
Yes.
When you say personalize it,
yeah,
you mean,
yes,
it's happening, yeah, to me.
Yeah.
This is
right.
happening to me.
Yeah.
Right.
Instead of saying, what am I
right.
going to do?
Instead of coming from the framework of, how can I listen to the words that this manager is saying to me and not take it personal, and really listen to the words, because a lot of times when you listen to them, you can.
Right. But listening to the words in that type of practice would follow someone that was ready to take responsibility, though, right?
Right.
You have to be motivated.
It was a bit of a test. It was a bit of a test, because what I was looking for was whether they were willing or not to look at their own actions. And I kind of said, you know, that, and this client did take it. It's funny you said personal. I mean, that was literally in her in the voice, was that she's really taking it personal, the criticism from this particular manager. And, you know, when we start to see the manager is really what the manager is saying is really only a mirror for us to reflect back upon. It's just, when you shift that conversation, the amount of opportunity and possibilities that open are just endless, because you're really working within something you can control. And I keep telling people that is, when we go outside ourselves and we look to how to change others or change things outside ourselves, it kind of closes off a lot. And so
Then that's a great recap, Alex, and a good entry into patience, because again, it's what are our actions that we're going to do to become more patient, and with the basic caveat that we're assuming responsibility for our actions. Our actions matter, and our life is going to be developed through attention to our actions, in particular intentions, actions, and results. So we learn from each one of what our motivations are for our actions, what our actions in terms of words, speech and thought and actions are, and then what our ultimate results are. And not so much the results on the outer world, but the results in our own disposition, our own character.
Right.
Well,
I think it's very transformative, and it's huge.
Well, the way I look at our personalities, we're like records, and we keep playing the same record over and over and over again. And if we want to interrupt that record, we're going to have to come up with a new intention, right? Pay attention to that action, right in the moment and time it's happening, and then change the record, or else the past intentions are just going to carry us into the repetitive response.
And I think what Alex was saying about that advice about, you know, being patient and how to look at things as far as leverage goes and listening to the words, that is so transformative, in that the person, if they took the advice and they heard the words, you know, Are they beneficial? Is it timely? Maybe the person didn't, spoke harshly, things like that. If they if they really heard the words
right.
and they responded accordingly, it's very empowering for the person in that they realize with the restraint, with the patient, with the discernment, it gives them tools and they can look yeah. at the actions so much differently.
But you can bet if they're not taking responsibility for their lives, if we're not taking responsibility for our lives, and all of this is just a good read, a good tip of the day, because you're not going to think about these things when the stress is on you.
Well, you got to be willing to meet it halfway. That's yeah, the 50%.
You've got to wake up in the morning with that intention and say, look, I'm going to take responsibility. And that's why the planning and, like Alex mentioned, the overall determination is very, very important for a practice like this.
And you really, it's not going to kill you to be a little bit more patient, really, is it, when you think about it?
No. Of course.
It's not going to be harmful. It's not going to...
Like Alex said, it's all easy.
No one's ever died from being too
patient. The practice is... It takes a lifetime of practice, but it's not a difficult practice when you assume the responsibility for
your actions. Yeah, that's the toughest part. Buddy, as you were just saying your last example before that, the record, to be able to see it as a record is really the switch we're talking about, and you know, and so some people that happens immediately. Sometimes it's some sort of life event that turns them that way. And some people just, they want to have a good read, and that's fine too. But when we're talking about really moving forward and developing and looking at these changes, that really is the kind of leading edge.
It's not the immediate gratification, is it? The immediate pleasure is not to look internally to a stressful situation and take responsibility for what you're adding to the stress. The immediate seek for pleasure is to blame the other person or the other event and just go in that direction quickly to get rid
yeah.
of it.
Well,
you do whatever you can, cut in line or whatever it takes. It's not easy to turn around and say, this is a stressful situation. One. Number two, what role am I playing to create the stress? That's the practice. You know, you recognize the stress, and then you shift to internally, what am I doing to create this condition?
Well, and an example, if I may digress today, this week before the university opens up and kids start coming back to class is like the busiest. It's almost like accountants during tax season, you know.
Right.
So it's really all craziness. And so I had yesterday off, and so today was my first day back. So I knew that there was going to be some additional things coming my way. Usually it never goes, set yourself up saying it's not going to be too smooth. But today I found myself getting ahead of myself, and I thought I was like 5 or 6 moves ahead, you know. And I remember saying to myself, stop. What's immediate? What do you need to do right this moment?
Right.
What needs your immediate attention? And it was amazing how I got through the day, and I felt like I really accomplished a lot. But I kept stopping myself each time.
You drew
I did
that
something.
Circle real small.
Yes, I mean I had really pulled the reins in very. You know, the leash was.
And it's just the opposite. Is our initial reaction is to, and you've got plenty of people that'll jump on you. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So you're going to get into a conversation with somebody and say, oh, yeah, she's all screwed up. And then you're off on a tangent and you never assume responsibility.
Oh, and it's just toxic
fact,
and it just compounds. It's awful.
Worse. So, you know, this is all within the context of assuming responsibility for actions and paying attention to results. And with that in mind, yeah, who wouldn't want patience? Right. In fact, the whole practice takes patience, because if you take these ideas we're currently talking about and you expect immediate results from this way of living, that's impatient, and that's never going to produce results. The whole practice is an exercise in patience, the way I see it.
Sorry, buddy, go ahead.
What I'm saying is I start out with the best of intentions, but I make mistakes all day long. And I've learned...
Well, welcome to my world.
Right. Well, anybody that's building skills does, except
sure.
when it comes to the person, we don't look at it as skill building. If you were playing and learning to play the piano, you'd be making mistakes with every keystroke, and you wouldn't be taking it personal. You'd be building the skills, and you'd become a good pianist. So if you want to become a good character, you're going to have to look straight on your own actions and be willing to say, I made a mistake.
Yeah. Well, I was going to
not take it personal.
I was going to go back to what Alex was saying, and you said earlier about you can't, you know, having too much patience is not the worst thing in the world.
Right.
And Alex was mentioning earlier, he said, you know, I'm not so sure about that. Now, Alex, what was your whole thing about patience? You thought it was going to lead to paralysis or of not making a move.
Well, I think I was being a little too impatient with talking about patience. But no, I the way we frame patience, I agree with you. You can't have too much of patience. I think I was speaking maybe more to a lot of, you know, relative side of patience and thinking, is it more of an action as into like not doing and becoming more apathetic, or lazy. But
you see, I think we're being patient about our actions. It's not patience in an inactive way. It's we're being patient with our actions and learning how not to take them personal and how to look at them as clinically as just actions, like a bad keystroke on a piano. You made a mistake. It's not the end of the world.
Right.
You know, you opened your mouth where you shouldn't have. You looked where you shouldn't have. You made a choice for, now, I don't know how else, let's just take diet. If you don't admit that you made a wrong choice, how would you ever fix your diet? Right, it's so obvious, but you've got to be patient with yourself. So the way you do that is you don't judge yourself; you judge your actions.
But I do think that's a really refined form of patience. That when we can move from external patience back to internal patience, for me, that's where the growth is happening now. But it's a lot easier for me to be patient and tolerant with others. Outside of myself, but I find very tough to be patient and tolerant with myself.
That's a great point. Because it is a sequence, isn't it, Alex? I mean,
it's a natural progression, but it's a necessary one because, you know, a lot of people can just be saying, oh, I'm a patient individual, I'm patient, I'm tolerant, and you might very well be. Externally, have you, you know, and then I would ask the question, how patient are you with yourself and in your own practice, and how tolerant are you of your own mistakes? So when we talk about making mistakes, somebody who's willing to beat them up over a mistake, I would say, is not too patient with themselves or tolerant to understand that mistakes will happen and are going to happen continuously. And so, you know.
And that the stress that you're currently encountering is a result of your mistake.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, it's that the
action's
already...
That's a lot to swallow for a lot of
people. The action's already passed. If you're feeling the stress of something, listen, in one way, you've missed the boat. In another way, be able to see that you missed the boat, and let's go backwards, and let's take a look at this thing.
It's crazy how we set the bar so high for ourselves, and we're willing to let somebody else slide a little bit.
Yeah,
you know, it's like... It's a double standard.
Well, that's the hypocrite in all of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and we're going to first strike out at those around us, and then, you know, ultimately, when there's no other choice, you're going to take responsibility. You might as well just take responsibility in the front end and get over with.
Just save yourself time.
In any case, though, I think Alex makes a great point, and I want to keep it moving because we are talking about a progression, and we, you know, there's a lot of good meat that we have today to discuss regarding outer. Ways to better manage our outer world in terms of patience and endurance. And then we'll circle back, Alex. You're absolutely right. We'll circle back to the inner world. Let's just, you know, in our normal format, we cover a few items of generosity and appreciation from our website. Let's kind of go through those just so we can, not forget how important it is for us to be generous in our everyday activity. I see some public acts here. Gave an extra thank you to a stranger for some kind help. Spent 2.5 hours at a volunteer activity last night. Made a healthy take to work lunch for my wife. These are all acts.
I see a good one. Someone actually put patience as an act of generosity.
Oh. And what's the reflection on that particular act?
Being mindful today helped with some moments of possible impatience. Yeah.
This is great. People still keep putting stuff in every day. So they're out practicing generosity. Again, it's not the thought of generosity. We're not watching a YouTube video saying, oh, that's a good idea on generosity. Now, these are people that are actually acting generous, logging in their generosity.
Sharing their generous actions.
And building, not only are they building it for themselves, but they're sharing it with others, which is a generous act in itself.
I like these. I'm kind of smiling at these public appreciations.
Go ahead.
A busy day that goes smoothly. Boy, I would really appreciate that. The opportunity to begin again. That is so cool.
Oh, yeah.
I think what's great is not really knowing who that is. You know, it's
can we comment on that one? The opportunity to begin again. Let me see if I can't segue that into the point I was making about not taking things personal. You know, when you do look at your actions as just actions, as intentions, actions, and results, and you look at yourself that way, and you look at your actions that way, you truly are starting fresh every action. You can begin again.
It's like a reset button.
It is an absolute reset. So it's not a weight on our shoulders by admitting that we're causing our own stress. Right? It's not, you're not judging yourself. When you look at it from an action standpoint, you have the opportunity to be, look at the other side of the coin, begin anew. Mm-hmm. You can be anything you want, you know, just pay attention to your actions. Don't make those choices anymore.
Yeah.
What else we got here?
Another appreciation is the good health of the family.
Yeah. Agreeing with my spouse. Boy, I can side with that one.
Okay.
What an appreciation that is. That happens once a week. No. Okay. Any more that we want to add? Any gratitudes, Carol? A gratitude's a little different now than an appreciation. This is actually recognizing the kind actions of others.
This one was called Listening to Me. I trusted their intentions. I know they went out of their way, and it was an inspiring and consistent action.
Ah. Took care of things at home for two evenings in a row so I could attend some important evening events. So someone did this for them, two evenings in a row. And the reflection is, dinner, kid, homework, piano is easy with both of us at home, but she never complained about it and was encouraging. Nice to feel supported.
Oh, that's nice.
Isn't that great? I'll take this moment to throw out a gratitude, just because it's actually just recent, last couple of days, and it kind of goes in with the topic tonight. Very grateful to my wife. Last couple of days, impatience, I think, got the best of me. I don't know if it kind of mixed with one of those behavioral talents I have as a maximizer. But I was, I was being really hard on myself. And it was, I was really expecting things at a very, high level. And when I didn't reach those expectations, it became more and more frustrating. It was like quicksand. And I just, and I didn't see a rope anywhere. And, and I kind of just sat there and I said, I kind of threw my hands up and said, I need help. I don't know what to do. And, symbolically, like a rope was there. Her hand came down and said, don't be so hard on yourself. And she sat there with me and she kept reminding me of all the positive things I had been doing, and so very grateful for it, because I think sometimes the answer isn't within yourself. Sometimes you do need a little help, and it came at the right time, and I think really got me back on track and got me saying, it was almost like I was choking on something and she Heimlich'd me and I could finally breathe again. She kind of just popped that piece of ham right out. And I'm saying, you're so right. And it was bad. It was very frustrating, and it was very, I was beating myself up really bad. And I'm very grateful for her to take the time. I know she had a lot of things going on too, but for her to kind of go outside herself and see that I needed that.
That's great. Hey, let's take a moment before we go into the letters that are written in, as well as some more highlights and some good tips on how to deal with being more patient and enduring more. Let's take a moment.
Vulnerable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.
And we're back.
We're back.
With our admirable friends.
With our admirable friends.
And Alex remotely.
And Alex remotely. Let's just see if I've missed any tacks. I gotta bring up that window.
So we've got...
Alex, are you watching on your screen the window for chats? Any chats come through?
No? I saw a chat just come through. Don't know if I can see it right now, though. So let me see if I can...
So we've got some emails that came in.
We've got some emails. And why don't we...
Yeah, there it is. I see the chat now.
You know, why don't we go right into the body of the emails rather than the educational side, because there are some really good emails here.
I've got one here.
Karen, why don't you start?
This writer says, for me, I often find impatience comes from a blind spot where I don't realize the little things building, but I notice it once impatience is in full force, usually signified by a clenched jaw, overuse of curse words, and a general feeling that the world should revolve around me and my wishes. Examples include traffic jams making me late for appointments, minor errors of other people at work, friends not responding to texts or emails promptly, etc. And I find myself very frustrated when I have to face the reality that the world does not, in fact, revolve around me, because I have somehow attached myself to the idea that it should work accordingly to my plans. That's pretty interesting right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It goes on to say, in reference to my committee of the mind, impatience, and I love this paragraph here. Impatience is like a five-year-old kid with a sugar high from Dr. Pepper and gummy bears who starts having a tantrum and takes over the whole committee's attention. It's a call that something has gone wrong. I'm pretty sure I know why this happens. Well, other than the Dr. Pepper and the gummy bears, it's generally because some of the other mind qualities are lacking for me, and I think that is particularly determination, discernment, and restraint. And when I haven't maintained the determination to pay attention to my actions and to evaluate which ones are skillful and which ones are not, the unskillful actions can sometimes go unnoticed, and this builds stress. Many times I don't even realize the stress has been building until it presents itself in the form of impatience. That's a really good email.
What do you see?
What do I see? Well, I see the feeling of how do I feel. The impatience is associated with a feeling. Obviously, this writer senses the feeling, I'll bet, after the fact, but I think that's a tool that can be used to kind of hone into it.
Okay.
When it starts feeling that whatever, maybe it's a tingling, maybe it's a like the hairs on the back of your neck stand up, maybe it's like a, you know, pain between your shoulder blades, whatever. Okay. That's kind of an indication that something's amiss, is what I'm thinking. What do you think?
Yeah, I think, first of all, I think this writer is assuming responsibility for their life. Because they're noticing these things, first of all, or they wouldn't otherwise, right? Those triggers, those bodily sensations would not be there. Noticing impatience is the start of the journey, right? We have to notice, we have to recognize that we are acting impatient. So we've recognized that there's bodily sensations. There's even a description here of what it's like when the writer responds like a five-year-old kid. Or, mm-hmm. But it's like a five-year-old kid who starts having a tantrum and takes over the committee's attention. That's still an inner dialogue that this person's having. They haven't responded out. So their impatience is not manifest in poor actions right now. This is all internal, which I look at as extremely constructive. And what I would say is this particular writer should be patient with themselves because they're doing the right things. They're assuming responsibility and they're dealing with it and starting to look at it. This is not something that you can fix. I mean, and the reason I say that is because the solution is generally because some of the other mind qualities are lacking for me, and then there's an analytical answer here. It's particularly determination, discernment, and restraint. There's no need to overanalyze this. You know, you're feeling like you're part of the problem, and now you're going to be part of the solution because you've recognized it. So I would start by being patient with myself and giving my practice a chance to develop. Make sure I take time to myself, practice slowly.
Because that's all part of the process.
Talk with admirable friends, write in like you're doing. It's this whole idea that we're going to fix these problems overnight. Wipe that from your vocabulary. I mean, is what I would say after practicing the way I have, because I can associate with what this writer is writing. This is something I would have written at the beginning of the journey. Actually, it's really articulate to recognize this. It's just, again, do you see that at all, Carol? Mm-hmm. A lack of patience with themselves?
No, it's very eloquent as far as what's going on. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
So obviously the writer sees.
You know, we're not talking about a storyline.
No.
This person's doing this to me, blah, blah, blah. This is all internal, okay? And we're talking about conditions that happen regularly during work. So they're zeroing in on the issues. And I would say the boat is turning. What do you think, Alex?
Yeah, I would share in those same sentiments and say that, this writer should pat themselves on the back because you don't get to see things at this level. Or maybe I'll reframe it like this, that when you're working with something like patience and you can internalize it, at times you're going to feel like you're just way more impatient now than you were before. But it's not a matter of being more or less impatient. You're just recognizing it at a subtler level. And so...
Is it when you don't respond internally? You may feel like you're not fixing the problem, but you haven't responded. That's an act of patience in itself, not responding.
Right. If they would go back and read this email, and this is a tough thing to do, for a personal practice, and this is why it's always good to kind of go back and maybe sometimes it takes other people to kind of point you in the direction and say, look at what you're writing. That takes a level of patience to get to this sort of content.
Yes.
And that is the practice. So while we haven't solved the impatient problem, maybe you're definitely going in the right direction with it, and that needs to be commended because this is a practice, and we're talking about endurance. And endurance is kind of assuming that this is going to be a long term deal here. So
you have to stop.
If you're on this yellow brick road headed to Oz, you got to stop and smell the roses once in a while on the way because you are moving along this path. So it's very important to recognize that you are moving down this path, even though at times it feels like you're not.
Places and we're all got different paths. The issue is to be patient with the activities of the past so we can watch it unfold, take responsibility, and make the game change when the time is right. And then you have the insights. So you have that one time where you actually make a better choice and you catch it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, another letter here. I'm pretty patient in dealing with people. I get complimented on that often. When it comes to internal matters, .. I am quite impatient with emotional stress. This manifests itself in the form of, I just had that picture image of the duck on the on the lake, you know, that looks really calm, but underneath the feet are really going. This manifests itself in the form of unskillful actions to relieve the stress rather than deal with it or let it go. The crazy thing is most of the stress is self-inflicted. A situation or slight from the past would pop into mind and I would either beat myself up over it or feel the resentment grow. This is one major reason that I started a consistent practice. Almost immediately, it created a little separation between me and the stress. Didn't immediately end the unskillful actions, but gave me some understanding of what was going on. That is a real gain for me.
Yeah, that's the anchor. Mm. The home base.
Yeah. And Alex, what do you see?
I can totally relate to the impatience with emotional stress. You know, it's, you know, of course, recently you almost just want it to be over. You know, I want it gone. I don't want to deal with this. You know, this isn't. And so you, I tell you, if you just really rustle around, even you know, those feet under the water, you're you know, you try to, you know, get rid of this emotional stress in so many different ways, and you're wrestling with it, and the patience to just sit with it. I think in you know, going back on it, ends up being you spend less time worrying about it, and you come out with a much more sustainable solution. Especially when you talk about emotional stress. I mean, stress in general, you know, or, you know, we try so hard to rid ourselves of stress. And so you might do five things to try to rid yourself of some stress, and that could take you, I don't know how long, but if you just sat there, you know, and kind of, you know, look at your role in that stress, man, I tell you, more often than not, that thing goes a lot quicker and a lot less painful.
This person, like the previous writer, has got responsibility written all over it, doesn't Carol?
Right. I was gonna say that. That it's very similar to the other writer, that the reflection and the contemplation that's involved in actually writing this and having a beat on what they're looking at.
Yeah, but this writer is a little bit more accepting of their position because the words, well, first of all, I take responsibility. This is why I started a consistent practice. Don't immediately end the unskillful actions, but gave me some understanding of what was going on and there's a real gain. That implies to me that this person is exercising patience on their practice. Mm-hmm. They have a clear understanding of where their practice is right now, and they're charting their course. And they've known right at the beginning that outwardly I've pretty much mastered those skills of dealing with the, which we're going to get to in a minute here, being impatient with people, conversation, physical pain, those kinds of external challenges of being patient. This person's obviously got through most of those challenges, developed a sense of patience around that, and has now turned the attention towards the inner world, mm-hmm. which, like you said earlier, Alex, that's where the big challenge is.
Yeah, you know? I like the part where this writer speaks about giving them some understanding. You know, we reflect on past actions, not to get held up in the past and try to fix those actions, but we do it so that we give ourselves a real fighting chance the next time an action comes up or next action going forward. And that's very important to do that, to not, you know, to reflect on the actions, not get held up on them, but to say, you know, by seeing this, by going back and seeing how this is, you know, it's like time traveling. I want to be able to give myself a chance going forward. And the only way to give myself that real good chance is by to just separating myself from that action and just looking at it and just understanding it and just cutting that personal tie to it and just say, it was an action, caused some stress, let me look at my role in it so that going forward I stand a better chance not continuing it on. So
It's clearly the whole start of it is recognizing the role you're playing in your own stress. That's clear. We have another one. Alex, you want to take one?
Sure. This one starts off. Ooh, this one is for me. I was put into someone's life that happens to be a widower. I, however, am not a sit back and wait kind of gal. So sorry for outing the writer on this one. So this has been a great challenge for me to stay calm, learn patience, and be supportive. Not easy, but he is worth it, so I do my very best. I hope he sees that I was put into his life for a reason as well, possibly for support, but grief can put you in a dark and difficult place. Patience, love, and kindness, and the tree will grow.
Yeah, I like that close.
I do like that quote.
I do too.
What is it, that the tree with the greatest hardwood takes the longest to grow? How the saying goes.
Yeah. I think this is, I think you see this a lot in relationships in general, whether it's a husband, wife, brother, sister, you know, friend to friend. I think this individual is really, once again, like the other writers, really recognizing their role in the overall relationship and knowing that it's a kind of two-way street. And their best leverage is put towards working on their own patience and being supportive through that, in the hope that the other partner sees it. But really, it's more than a hope. It's you know, my actions of patience and support will yield patience and support from the other. Kind of like, if you want respect, give respect, sort of thing. It's through our actions that we can really become a beacon for how we'd like others to relate to us. So.
Well, it's a good thing you brought up actions, because we're going to segue right into the outer conditions. And what we can do to develop.
Yeah, let's give some tips. This is some good tips. Let's just go one after another here. We've got a few minutes left. Ways to skillfully deal with troublesome words, people, and pain. So This is the outer world of words, people, and pain. And get your pens ready, folks. Here comes some tips, starting with Carol.
Well, we're going to wish goodwill. Because that's an excellent way to develop patience. And goodwill is wishing for us and our others to understand and act upon the cause of reliable happiness. So if there's a troublesome person, wish them goodwill, because, you know, while you're, releasing that hand, that fist that's so tight and getting you all worked up, it really has a releasing value, and I think it's beneficial. So, wishing goodwill, excellent way to develop patience.
Yes, and try to universally apply that as far as you can take it, right? Consider that we can't expect everyone to exercise good speech.
This is true.
Now, just think about that for a moment. That's a simple statement, but how can we go out each day thinking that everyone's going to exercise good speech? Would that be a little naive?
I would think that would be very naive.
Right.
There's
a good way to deal with it. Alex?
This one I liked. Determine what level of commitment we have to the person and decide accordingly, i.e. limit our exposure or alternately just leave the situation. I think we often put ourselves in situations we look back and say, I didn't even need to go there.
That's a great one. That's a
you know, I challenge people to look at how they drive on the road. Do you really have a commitment level to other people on the road and really to kind of get involved on a very deep level when just pull over to another lane or kind of,
it reminds me of the discussion we had at Fort Worth Meditation about that person behind that person behind. They're overly committed.
we sabotage ourselves. We get like these heavy, deep involvements. We become very personally attached to these things if we really look at them, there's no real commitment there, and that's okay. And when you do that, I think you ultimately give yourself the pass and say, yeah, I can just kind of move on to the next one.
It's not worth it.
Yeah, especially with relationships, limit your exposure. I mean, if you're finding you're impatient with another individual, take a look at the relationships, you know, just with that individual. How far is it necessary to go? And I think you'll see that you can give yourself a pass on being,
That should be, you don't have to win every battle to win the war.
Absolutely.
Pick your battles is what that one is saying. Learn to step back and look broadly at a situation. We're not the only ones susceptible to these words, person or physical pain. Think about the fact that there is an ever-ending supply of harsh words, troublesome people, and painful situations.
There you go.
This is the look back and really look at this picture. It's, you know.
See if what it is. Let's be real here.
Let's be real.
It's not always going to be roses and sunshine.
It's an unlimited supply of harsh words, troublesome people, and painful situations. So instead of being stuck on the leaf, step back a little bit.
I like the tool that says develop an attitude of resilience.
Mm-hmm. You know,
just kind of like keep going along, bounce along.
You know, my big one is probably the last bullet here on there, and I love it, is develop a sense of humor around a situation. You know, in the current world we're living in, you got to have a sense of humor. You got to be able to laugh at even the most ridiculous things, you know. I always go to the traffic, say, you know, missing a light or someone cutting you off or whatever the case, you know, have a little joke about it. It's okay. Yeah. This is not the end of the world we're talking about here, but it can be the end if you become way too impatient. You can definitely ruin your chances.
Put yourself in harm's way, too.
Put yourself in harm's way. Absolutely. So ease up out there. Have a good sense of humor about things.
Our admirable friends are really something. You know, as I made that comment about that discussion about in the passing lane,
uh-huh.
All of a sudden on an instant chat, it comes through. Just when I thought I'd shaken that problem, buddy, you brought it up.
Now, see, everybody has a problem.
That was
what
me.
That
was me. I'm sorry. That was me. I tend to go back there. I'll
everybody
that
does.
God love our admirable friends. Hey, look, we're at the end of the show.
Wait. Speaking of how we love our admirable friends, there was an admirable friend that actually wrote in with an email or part of our chat, and this particular admirable friend is going through a very difficult and stressful situation personally. And so,
oh yes, that's right. She just
and so we just wanted to
send
good thoughts her way. And I know her practice is strong, and I have full faith in her ability to persevere and endure, because I do know her practice is sincere.
Yes, and well, she says she slipped a little bit lately on it, but she can go right back to it and recall her practice, and we'll respond back to with some kind words. But if everybody can send some kind words for those that are going through more difficult challenges in their life.
Great show, guys. I appreciate that.
All right. Well, thanks again, and we'll see you for the last number 10, which is equanimity.
Next week. Next Tuesday.
Take care. I'll see you next week.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Admirable Friends is about discovering personal solutions to life's everyday challenges. We welcome the support of like-minded individuals to help reveal our inner wisdom. Our listeners display virtuous values based on varying religious and secular perspectives. Yet our common desire is to live authentic lives that lead to reliable happiness. With many distractions at work and at home, we struggle to live up to our ideals. Yet there are times when we triumph. By generously sharing these first-person experiences, our resolve to live authentically is recharged, and our admirable friendship is strengthened. Together, each week, we explore an unwanted emotion and its matching ideal mind quality. The overriding context of our journey is what, when we do it, leads us out of stress and towards reliable happiness. We're grateful to have you join us today.